You get to hear from me first, because I finished with him. I've learned I need to speak first if I'm going to get my side in. Mm-hmm. 30 years of marriage does that. Anyways, it's wonderful to be here with you this morning. I'm Jody Buck, my husband Bob, and our two youngest girls, Amber and Stephanie. We have four other children who are grown. We are in the process of getting ready to go to Costa Rica as missionaries with Global Outreach Mission. We have been sharing throughout Saskatchewan and northern part of the U.S. about what God has laid on our heart for the people in Costa Rica. Yes, it's a beautiful country, but there are things that don't always show up on the tourist brochures. There is still quite a bit of hopelessness and despair, a lot of trouble. And we want to bring them the light of Jesus and God's love. We made a trip back in 2012 as a family. And like Ben was sharing, when people ask you to come back, go. And we've had many people there in Costa Rica say to us, please come back, help us, train us, work with us, show us how to be disciples, show us how to love God. And that is what we are planning to do. We are, our tickets actually have been purchased. We are almost at our full support. I think we are at about $385 a month yet that we still need to raise. And we will be, that God is going to be raising so we can be 100% supported when we go. And it's definitely a time of transition right now. For us, we covet your prayers as we transition through these things. The house is starting to empty out. It's almost like camping in a house at this point. But we're trusting God to sell our home. Covet your prayers on that will sell. And as we transition with leaving our grown children as well, once again, Stephanie and Amber will be coming with us. But we do have other family members that we are leaving. And they're going to be sacrificing as well because Grandpa and Grandma won't be around. We do have three grandchildren. But our plan, right now we are living in Canada here, and our plan is to go down there to Costa Rica with Global Outreach Mission. Our mission does have property down there that is available. Teams come down to do children's ministry, medical clinics, that type of thing. As an LPN, I will be coming alongside when they do those clinics to help with contacts, triage, wherever is needed. I'm also a logistics type of person, so I'm also going to be the backup and coordinator for the family as well in the various ministries that God has them in. I'll let them share. My girls are used to smaller groups, but they're good. Once they get talking, they're okay. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Amber, and this is my sister Stephanie. I'm 16, and Stephanie is 18 years old. We'll be going down with our parents to Costa Rica, and we're really excited about that, to share God's love with the orphans there. God just really laid our hearts that we should be working with the orphans in Costa Rica. We went there for 2 weeks, and a piece of our heart was left there with the orphans, and we just had to go back, you know. So we're going to be just being big sisters there with the orphans and teaching them God's love and just saying, you don't have to fight, because there's so much fighting and bullying going on in the orphanage. It's like, you don't have to do that. You can be, brothers and sisters in Christ and loving one another and showing the fruits of the Spirit. So, yeah, we covet your prayers on that, too.
Also, there's going to be a soup kitchen down there that will be... helping out with... we'll be bringing food when we can, and also sharing the gospel there to the homeless people that will be coming in for meals most evenings. So when we can go there, we will be sharing, and we'll be sharing the gospel and sharing the message and the love of God with the people there also.
Another part or another facet of the ministry is working with the leaders and the pastors that are down there. And when we were down there, it's amazing that we met pastors that were saved for only 6 months. I'm going, how in the world did they become pastors of a church of 50 to 80, and they've only been saved for 6 months to a year? And it just seems to be happening that way. What's happening is there's a lot of short-term missions that are going down there, and people are coming to the Lord, but they need discipleship. And one of the things that we feel is that God has called us to, in Matthew 28, 18 through 20, go ye into all the world, right? Did he say make converts? No, he said make disciples, right? And that's what we want to do with these pastors, is to train them, train their leaders, how to become disciples of Jesus Christ, how to live that out, and to go out and make more disciples. It was very interesting what Ben had to share today. I basically shared the message. You know, it's about getting out there and sharing God's word with these people. You know, Jesus spoke more about hell in the Gospels than he did about heaven. And you know what? Hell's a real place. The lake of fire is a real place. And we've been given this wonderful opportunity to go down there and to present the gospel, but not just present, but to train up disciples who would go out and make more disciples for Jesus Christ. And that's what we want to do. That's what our heart and our passion is to go down there in Costa Rica. We've been invited to Guatemala. I don't know where the Lord's going to lead from there, but we just feel for right now, Costa Rica is where we need to be. That's where we need to focus. And these pastors have asked us to please come. And there's at least 20 to 30 pastors, but I can't do it all. And you know what? We're going to Costa Rica. We can't feed all the hungry. We can't take care of all the homeless. We can't take care of all those that are needing medical care. So why don't you come down? Join us. Come along. Work with us. That's an invitation. And I believe it's something that, you know, together we can do. If the 12 disciples can go out into the world and turn the world upside down, amazing what this church can do right here in Regina and Saskatchewan in Canada and all over the world. Thank you so much. Judy, you want to finish?
One last thing. We do have some prayer cards. I put some on the table by the mailboxes and the table over here just as you come up the stairs. Grab a prayer card. Pray for us. Put one on your refrigerator, in your Bible, wherever you'll see it. Keep us in prayer. Please, we covet your prayers. We can't do this unless we have people praying for us. We realize that. We know that. We could have 200% of our support, but unless we have people committed to prayer, I don't want to get on the plane. Amen. So we covet your prayers inside. They don't open real well, but when they do, there is an email address. That's ours. Drop us an email. We do send out quarterly mission updates, where we're at, what we're doing, and we'd love to hear from you. If God lays it on your heart to pray for us or whatever, send us a message. Again, September 23rd is when we're heading out. We covet your prayers if God lays it on your heart to support us as well. Or if you have any other questions, we'll be around afterwards. The girls seem quiet now. Like I said, get them one-on-one. They love to talk as well. So if you have any questions, feel free to visit with us, talk with us. And yes, it's good to see you. Thank you. Thanks for listening.
Hallelujah. It's great to be in the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto the house of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
All right. I do things a little different. Let's get up. Let's greet one another. And let's just say, glad to see you. God bless you in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Good morning. God bless you. Good morning, 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 sir, God bless you. Good morning, Ben, God bless you. Good morning, ma'am, God bless you. God's blessings on you. God blessings on you, sir. God bless you, ma'am. God bless you, ma'am. Hallelujah. Are you excited?
How's your faith this morning? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. My message this morning has a lot to do with what Ben's been sharing, why we are all here, why we're going to Costa Rica. But before we start, before we begin there, I want to ask you, how is your faith? How's your love for one another? Think of the person that you love the least in this room. Don't look at him. Think of the person you love the least in this room. That's how much you love the Lord. Oh, Pastor Bob, how can you say that? Jesus said it. When you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me. How is your love for one another? This is how they'll know that you are his disciples, by your love for one another. And what I've seen already in this church, there's love. What I see already with the youth, the children, amazing. You're blessed. Count your blessings this morning. Amen? Count your blessings. This morning, let us begin in prayer and asking the Lord to bless our time here. Heavenly Father, Lord, I cannot do this. Lord, I'm totally dependent. We are totally dependent on you. Lord, please remove the spiritual wax from our ears. May we see clearly. May our hearts be open and sensitive to what the Holy Spirit wishes to speak, the Holy Spirit wishes to teach us this morning. Father, we ask that God, that you would forgive us of our sins as a body, as a corporate body, as individuals, Lord. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts and convict us. Holy Spirit, move upon us and grant us repentance. Lord, for you are holy, and this place is holy ground. Where two or three are gathered in your name, but there you be in the midst of them. And Father, this is holy ground. Father, bind all the works of the enemy. Father, for those who are carrying burdens this morning, who are coming here this morning, Lord, and there's some things that are heavy on their heart, may they place it at the feet of Jesus, and may they know that, God, that you will take care of everything for them. They have no need to fear. They have no need to worry. Father, may they seek first your kingdom. And Lord, we pray, have your way. Have your way with your church this morning. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. We're coming here this morning expecting that God has something for you and I. Turn in your Bibles with me to Ezekiel 37. And when you get there, Ezekiel 37, say amen, please. So I'll know that most of us are ready. That's what I like to hear. Hallelujah. Ezekiel 37. This is God's word. It's living and it's breathing. I still hear pages. It says in verse 1, the hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? I said, Sovereign Lord, you alone know. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. He said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breath, from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, I am going to open up your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open up your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I am the Lord, that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it, declares the Lord. Amen. When I, back about 10 years ago, I was in medical school, and one of the things that I had to do was work in this, with bones, human bones. And working with bones, there's a lot of bones. There's about over just 200 bones in a human body. And we need to know every part of the human anatomy. And as I was working and messing around with the bones, and I finally realized, something just dawned on me as I was handling this, these bones, I realized this was a living person. This was a living person at one time. Maybe this person got married. Maybe this person had children, went to school, had loved ones. And here I am playing around with these bones. A dry bone is a proof that there is extinct life. Bones are made only from living things. Israel, at one time, was a living organism. Israel, alive, in God. But what happened? Israel sinned. Sin came in, disintegration came in, death came in, and now it's a valley of dead, dry bones. Man is created in the image of God. Genesis 2:7, then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. He became a living being. He was created in the image of our living God. Then man sinned. Disintegration came in, death came, and now the whole world is a valley of dead, dry bones. When we look from a scientific point of view, there's no way to make a bone alive again. You can take a chicken thigh bone and stick it in a pot of soil and add water. It's not going to happen. You're not going to grow chicks. Just not going to happen. When God therefore asked the prophet, can these bones live? Ezekiel was compelled to turn that question back to God. You alone, Lord, know. Only God knows the answer. And in this chapter, God answers the question as how dry bones of all ages are to come alive. In the first place, those commissions to raise dry bones, there needs to be a preparation. Something needs to happen. At 17, I was headed to hell. Coming from a rough background, a campus crusader for Christ, college students came down to Panama City Beach, Florida, where I was hanging out. And one of those campus crusaders came and shared the gospel of Jesus Christ to me. I accepted at 17 Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I prayed the sinner's prayer. And I want to tell you, I thank God that that man was faithful, that man was obedient to take the gospel of the message of Jesus Christ out to me. Because my mom and dad, my brothers and sisters, when they first found out, they said, there's the door. I left the Catholic faith. Church, the Catholics are lost. Do you hear me? I know that's tough. Maybe some of you have family. Catholics, if your faith is not on Jesus Christ, you are not saved through water baptism. It is only through the shedding of Jesus' blood. It is faith in Jesus Christ. It is not Mary. It's not the saints. It's nothing else but Jesus only. The prophet's preparation, he must have a vision of God. He receives the touch of God. He sees a vision of the divine and the human. And one of the things that we see in the Middle East, in the Eastern time period, in those in the civilizations, the wings represented divinity, hands, humanity. And wherever he saw the hands move is because the wings were taking those hands. He saw winged creatures with the face of a man symbolizing intelligence. He saw the face of a lion symbolizing courage, the face of an ox symbolizing patience, the face of an eagle symbolizing aspiration. The need of every prophet of God is that his intelligence, courage, patience, and aspiration shall be linked with God and be completely controlled by him. In the vision, Ezekiel feels the touch of God, hands symbolizing his power. The Spirit of God in every Christian is in every Christian life. You are filled with the Holy Spirit when you ask Jesus to come into your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus is our Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. The prophet responds to the hand or the touch of God. He goes where God leads. Our tendency, when we are feeling God moving us on, our tendency is to look for those nice places where it's floral, it's garden-like, it's nice and peaceful. Maybe we shouldn't have said anything about Costa Rica yet, honey. But you know what? There's darkness there too. There's darkness there too. But our tendency is to go to those places. We don't want to take the gospel. We don't want to be living around dead things or dead bones. Who wants dead bones for a neighbor? The prophet of God responds to the touch of God in the midst of these dry, lifeless bones. It's one thing to be in the house of God's people. I love it. I love being with brothers and sisters in Christ. We've got the same Father. We have the passion. We have the desire. There's that spirit that bears witness with one another. I don't know you, but I love you. We're going to go to heaven. Amen? Are you excited? If that doesn't get your pacemaker going, I don't know what will. People, it's time to get excited about God. We need to be enthused with God. We walk out of here like we've been sucking on lemons. What are people out there going to think? Get excited. Friends, it's another thing to be among dead, dry bones. And for a while there, my family were dead, dry bones. My family were dead to this world. They were dead in the world. They were bones that just had no life to them. And every time I was around them, it just seemed like they were sucking life out of me. But unless we're willing to listen to God and allow God to move us and to plant us among dead things, those dead bones will not come to life. If Ezekiel had kept looking at the great number of dry bones, he might have said, there's no use in trying to raise them to life. When I was pastoring here in Regina, just for a short while, we had prostitutes, used to be prostitutes, used to be drug dealers. We had one guy who was a murderer in our church. But now they're brothers and sisters in Christ. It doesn't take much to go and sit on the Love Lives Here bus ministry and watch some of these kids prostitute themselves. We've got it right here. We would look at them and say, they have no hope. But church, in your own hands, you hold it. God has commissioned us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, to go out and be witnesses, to share the gospel to them. They have hope. If we share that hope, because that's what God has called us to do, to take that hope out there. The prophet was told to do a very foolish thing. It's foolish to talk to a deaf person, to go up and start a conversation. It's even more foolish to talk to a dead person. But how much more foolish is to speak to a dead, dry, lifeless, bleached bone that at one time resembled a human body? It was part of the human body, but now it's dead. But Ezekiel was willing to look foolish in the world's eyes. He was willing to look to God. And he spoke to those dead, dry bones. And he said, hear the word of the Lord. It is by the foolishness of preaching that men are saved. Amen? Are you excited, church? The man of God spoke the word of God in the power of the Spirit of God. Ezekiel was a man of God in that he was right with God and completely under God's control. It is well to be a man of learning. It is good to be a man of abilities. It is fantastic to be a man of position, man of means. But let me tell you something. It's 1,000 times better to be a man of God. Thousand times better to be a man of God. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it says that we have the purpose of Scripture. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly furnished unto every good work. He must be a man of prayer. Church, we must be praying. We have authority. Many people don't like to hear about demonic powers. You just go to these third world countries or Regina, like here. We had a doctor friend. Well, he's a doctor friend of ours now. But he was demon possessed. And he made threats. He could actually take a two-by-fours and snap them with his bare hands. You tell me that's supernatural strength? No. That's demonic strength. And he threatened the pastor, the elders, threatened me, and he says, I can snap you in half. I smiled. I said, you have no power over me unless it was given to you by my Father in heaven. Shut your mouth and come out of him. And immediately he dropped to the floor. And he got so scared, he almost ended up in the mental institution. Why? Because he actually saw these things coming out of his mouth, flying out the house. Our battle's not with flesh and blood. You have been given authority to trample scorpions and serpents. And at the name of Jesus, hallelujah, demons have to flee. You have authority. Use it, church. Pull down the strongholds. Amen? Amen? So, the prophet, every worker in the valley of bones needs these qualifications. He needs to be a man of God, a woman of God, a man and a woman of the Bible, and a man and a woman of prayer. We must live holy. Church, you know what affects our prayer life? How's your relationship with your wife? Wives, how's your relationship with your husband? Church, remember, your one sin, one person sins in this body, it affects the whole body. We need holiness. We need to walk in authority. We need to walk in obedience. We need to walk in God's love. But if one part, just like Achan's sin, Achan coveted it after the things of the Lord. In Jericho, after they took it, he coveted the things of the Lord and he took it. And you know what? Israel did not know this. And Israel paid the price. Church, we must be holy. Each and every one of you is an important part. And if you're living in sin, repent and turn back to God. Ask for forgiveness and he will forgive you. He's standing there with arms wide open. The prophet looked at the bones. There was no manipulation. He did not try human wisdom to articulate the bones. He said, oh, there's a skull. There's a shoulder. There's a femur. Oh, there's a finger bone. Let me see. Hey, maybe these don't add up together. He didn't do that. He didn't do that. The bones he knew didn't have the power to retain life or receive it. And while he spoke, there was a noise. A bone came to bone. And the shaking was a bone noise. Let me tell you what. When you're praying for your family and you know that the bones are beginning to shake, let me tell you what. They become irritable. My family disowned me. I can't tell you how many times. But I kept declaring the word of the Lord to them. I kept praying for them. And you know what happened? After 10 years, one of them came to the Lord. It was like a domino effect. And at the very end, my mom and dad, we were watching Billy Graham together, and I had an opportunity to pray with my mom and dad watching Billy Graham. God is faithful, and he will answer your prayers. Amen? Keep praying. Don't give up. It is the bones touched by the breath of God, and the noise that is made is the resistance of this evil heart, but God can change it. Continue praying. What every dry bone of the valley needs, first of all, is a touch of the breath of God. Friends, listen. Knowledge of Greek, Latin, French, German, music, mathematics, science, philosophy, psychology leave spiritual dry bones just as they were. It is the lack of knowledge of God that makes them dry. And nothing but the knowledge, having a relationship with Jesus Christ, that can bring those bones back to life again. Are you alive? Hallelujah. Are you saved? Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Are you blood bought, blood washed, sanctified, set apart? Are you? God loves you. And that's the message that I want to share with you. Twice the purpose is given. Israel herself shall know that I am the Lord when they shall see that I have raised the valley of scattered bones into an army of living men. It wasn't chaos. When we think of army, what do we think of? Discipline, order, one commander. Israel shall know. This is like a foreshadow. A foreshadow even for us today. We are called to be ministers of reconciliation. God is calling the whole world to come to him. The penalty of their sin was purchased at Calvary. And God has given each and every one of you that ministry of reconciliation. You have been given that authority to go out and proclaim it, live it out. Hallelujah. I'm just about done. It says in 2 Corinthians 5:16, it says, From now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, The new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. Woo! There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in. Can't hear you. There is therefore now no condemnation in. You're no longer condemned. Hallelujah. You get that pass to go past jail, past hell, past the lake of fire, because Jesus purchased it for you. And it came at a very high cost. Romans 8 talks about that. That you're no longer condemned, you're no longer guilty, but he's adopted you. Woo! Come on! You're children of Abba, the Father. Are you excited yet? Church, we are today the best examples of what used to be dead, dry bones. Look around you. Look around. Go ahead. Look at each other. Look at each other. Dead, dry bones that have heard the message preached to them. That they've had the breath of God breathed in them. You can talk to the once drunkard, alcoholic, drug addict, thief, liar, criminal, murderer, prostitute, sexually immoral, who are now standing in the Lord's army. And I say to you, weary Christian, don't give up. Finish the race. Finish the race. Maybe some of you, possible, some of you have come to church today because your bones have been rattling and wonder if this miracle-working God is able to give you new life. Some of you have been fighting addictions. Some of you right now are having marital problems. Maybe some of you right now are struggling in your walk with God. Like blind Bartimaeus, Jesus is passing by this morning. Are you going to let everybody just tell you, shh? Don't bother the teacher. Quiet. Shh. Shut up. Don't call out. I want to tell you, he's wanting you to call on him. He is wanting you to call upon him, and he'll meet you where you're at. And all you have to do is like blind Bartimaeus, and Jesus says, what is it that you want me to do for you? And all that blind Bartimaeus said, Lord, I want to see. I'm telling you, Jesus is here today. And he wants to meet your needs. He wants to heal. It's not the Jesus, not just the Jesus of salvation, but he is our healer too. And maybe you're dealing with some sickness. God is willing to heal you. He desires it. Church, God loves you. Some of you are like Lazarus being in the tomb. You can't even stand your own stench of death. But Jesus is willing that no one should perish. He calls to the tombstone to be removed. And that is why you are here today. If you're here today, you don't know Jesus Christ. This is the time. This is the time. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you know that if you die tonight and you stood before God, your Heavenly Father, and he said to you, why should I let you in my heaven? If you don't know that answer, don't leave here until you do. Church, this is the message that we want to take to Costa Rica. That's why we feel it's not our mission. It's not our vision. It's his. There's a lot of missionaries that are traveling, many missionaries that are going. And God has called us as a family to take that message out. Church, a church that has no vision for the mission field ceases to be a church, because God is a missional God. I love you, church. God loves you. He loves you. You are the apple of his eye. And there's no sin too big that God cannot forgive if you're willing. If you're willing just to confess that to him today. Amen? So let's bow our heads, close our eyes. and we stand before the Lord God Almighty. Maybe you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you want to ask Jesus to come into your heart this morning. I'm asking you to come. I'm asking you to stand up. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He died on that cross for your sins. He died and He took that place. He took not just your sin, but He took your shame. And if you don't know Jesus, I'm making that available for you to come up this morning and ask Him to become your Lord and Savior. Maybe you're here this morning and you know that you're not sure. You're struggling. You're dealing with some sin in your life, some secret sin. Would you just raise your hand so I can pray for you? Nobody looking. Eyes closed, please. Thank you. Anyone else? You need a special thank you. Anyone else? Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? The Holy Spirit is here. He's speaking to your hearts. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. God, thank you. Anyone else? He's passing by this morning. He's passing by this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you need a special touch. Anyone here that needs a healing touch? Just raise your hand. Thank you. 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 Hallelujah. Our Jesus heals. Thank you. Anyone else? Hallelujah. 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 Let's pray. Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, you said, Father, you said to seek. You said to ask. You said to knock. And Father, we come asking, seeking, and knocking. We come to you in Jesus' name. And Father, we pray, Father, that our faith would be increased. That God, that our love for you and love for each other would be increased. And God, that you would cleanse us and wash us from all our sins and all our iniquities, O God. Heavenly Father, you've seen the hands that have gone up. Father, for those for healing, for those that want a closer walk with you, God, and confessing secret sins. Father, for those that need Jesus to be their Lord and Savior. So, Father, in Jesus' name, you see those hands. Lord, they didn't lift them up to me, but they lifted it up to you, and Lord, you've taken notice. So, Father, in Jesus' name we pray that you would bless your church, that God, that you would heal these people that are sick, that are needing a touch, in Jesus' name. We pray for healing of their body, pray for the healing of their mind, praying healing for their soul. Father, in Jesus' name, for the blood that was shed on Calvary, for the stripes that you received on your body for our healing. Thank you, God. And Father, we thank you for this beautiful day. So Father, we know that God, you do not withhold any good thing from us. For you are our Father, you are our Abba Father. In Jesus' name, we ask that God, that you would increase our faith, O God. And that God, that we would walk out of this place, God, with vision. Father, that we would walk, Father, not arrogant, but holding our heads up, Father, knowing that we're children of the King. And that, Father, that we don't have to walk in shame or defeat. Hallelujah. And Father, just like you've taken care of so many of those that have been caught up in pornography, sexually immoral, the prostitutes, all these kind of people, Father, that are now walking in the Lord's army. Father, they can walk, Father, knowing that, Father, you've taken their sin and their shame. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe that. Thank you for this body. Bless them, keep them, and help them, Father. to fall more in love with you and with each other. Oh God, we need you more than ever. Lord, please come and have your way with us. Lord, be our God again. Be our Savior. We need you more than yesterday, for that is gone. More than tomorrow, for that's not guaranteed. We need you now to be our God and our Savior and our Lord, our King. Change us, Lord. Have your way with us, we pray. And Lord, we'll be sure to give you all the victory and the praise and the glory and the honor for all that you have done for us. God, bind us together with love, that God, with cords of love, that God, that cannot be broken. Father, for one another, and Lord, may our love for you, Father, increase more and more each day. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you.